When I preach this message to you, you're going to look at me and say, Pastor, you better get real. Get real. Take a hike. The only reality of everything is what God says.
That's right, amen.
Understand that. You know, I've talked to people this week doing Lowell Anderson's funeral and some things going on. Everybody's afraid of Ebola. Everybody's afraid of ISIS. Everybody's afraid of this, and everybody's afraid of that. I want to tell you something. God has prepared you for this time. God has prepared you to go through this time, live in this time, and overcome this time.
Amen.
And I want to show you that, because a lot of people look at Matthew 24 and said, that's something to be afraid of. No, God is showing us what we're going to go through, and He's going to tell, and He's telling us He's equipped us to overcome it.
Hallelujah.
You know, there's not a single believer in the world that has a right to live in hopelessness. Your life's not hopeless.
Amen.
Your marriage is not hopeless. Your life is not hopeless. We need, and I really honestly believe this, and this is why I'm doing that series with Bill Johnson, we need to see things through God's mind, through God's eyes. And can you understand how dark it gets when you see stuff through Satan's eyes? Or listen to Satan's voice? Or come to a place of disbelieving the Bible and accepting everything's falling apart? God says, I hold everything together by the word of my power. The Bible says that through him everything consists in your King James Version. That means God holds everything together. Once you come to Christ, your life is no longer a mess. Hello.
Right.
Man, I love the way you're shouting. Don't, you know, they said if you want a new preacher, just say a few amens, he'll preach himself to death. Just don't get that excited yet. I'm not ready to go. Matthew 24, verse number 6. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you hit the panic button. Time to panic, folks.
No, sir.
No. No. See that you are not what?
Troubled.
Alarmed. How many realize it's the purpose of our media to keep you up in the air so that you keep watching? And you're watching to see if there's any sight of anything good. Friend of mine, Mayor LaValle, he's been here, Native American guy, preacher. He says, Fox may share all the facts, but it's still depressing. You may get all the facts you want, but it's still depressing. Things must come to pass, but the end, say the end, is not yet. There are things we're going to go through, and I haven't changed my opinion of the rapture. I'm still looking for Jesus, but there are things we're going to go through before Christ comes, and it's not a time to panic.
That's right.
You know what Ebola reminds me of? Do I dare say this? How many ever remember when they found the first person with AIDS? And I'm not minimizing Ebola. People die. I'm not minimizing that. I am minimizing how we're going to react to what's going on around us. Because God has prepared you to walk through all this stuff. God has designed you to be an overcomer.
Amen.
God has designed you to walk in victory. God has designed you to walk in power. Fact is, we should be not just being waiting to pray for somebody and see them healed.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to minimize stuff. I'm just saying we have to look at things through the eyes of God.
Amen.
I hear people dumping on Sisseton. Oh, that stinking town. I hate it, and I hate this, and I hate that. Friends, if you live in Sisseton or Wilmot or Summit or Roswell, that's where you're called to minister. You can't curse the place you're called to minister.
That's right.
If you hate it that bad and you have that much of a bad taste to stay here, something's wrong. Whoa, I shouldn't have said that. Hello. Say this with me. I love pastor fearing, even if he is a terrible preacher. But here we go. All these things are the beginning, say beginning, of sorrows. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. He who endures to the end shall be saved. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as witnesses to all nations, and then the end will come. We have, from today, how many believe in a 7-year tribulation period? Anybody believe that?
Yes, sir.
How many believe in a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth?
Yes, sir.
So, there's going to be 1,007 years minimum of this earth left. Now, how many are going to live that long? Jerry. The old fossil. Somebody said, what are you going to have done at your funeral? I ain't going. I ain't going. But we have 1,007 years, even with global warming. Hello? Hello? Come on, folks. You wait till January and you talk to me about global warming. Getting minnows through the ice. You may say, are you making fun of stuff? No. But let's look how goofy things get and people buy into it and our lives are just in constant turmoil. Constant turmoil. I opened with that as a, what do they call it when you do something for the kids to get them started? throw an opener. That works. There are many people in this world, many Christians, who know that they're forgiven. And know that they're going to heaven. And know that they're part of the kingdom. But they've never allowed the kingdom of God to be manifested through their lives. There are many people who realize God loves you. But they've never taken that love to another level of God wanting to empower you, anoint you, fill you, and use you in his kingdom. And they never experience the joy of leading someone to Christ, the joy of seeing someone healed, the joy of seeing demons cast out of someone. And like Jesus said, even the joy of seeing the leper cleansed. And what they're doing, they're hanging on, hoping that Christ comes when God is saying, I want you to get out there. I want you to accept what I've given you. I want you to walk in that anointing. I want my life to be manifested with through you. I want you to see what I see in people's lives, and I want you to do what I would do. And so we come to a place where we need to be involved in God's kingdom. God never called anyone just to sit in a chair in church And that's the amount of your Christianity. If you're crippled, if you're broken, if you need healing, whatever it is, God still has anointed you, ordained you, as we said last Sunday, to do ministry.
Yes.
But the problem that we face is we don't trust ourselves or we don't trust Him. We come to a place where we're concerned not what people are going to find in us, but if they're going to find anything in us. And that has been a deception of Satan. Because Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit is going to be with you and he will be in you. Say in me.
Amen.
The Bible tells us, for by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit took you and placed you into the body of Christ, and you live with the Holy Spirit. And as we've told you before, and over and over and over again, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Satan can't stop you from doing what God has called you to do.
That's right.
Nobody can stop you from being and doing what God has commissioned you, ordained you, and called you into, but we can.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
It's true. We can look at it and we can say, I don't think I'm capable. God knows you're not capable. He never asked you to be capable. He says, I make you capable. I give you my ability. I give you my insight. I give you my wisdom. I give you everything that I have. Now go do it as I lead you. In fact, I'll lead you to people you need to go to. Or you'll be like the guy standing on the hill on a motorcycle and people come to him. Put your tent out here. Say free prayer. See what happens. After you're shot at a few times, a few rocks thrown at you, can't get any worse than that. Pray for them. We are challenged. Challenged by God to have a divine perspective of what is going on in this world. And friends, it can no longer be as it's been for years. We'll let the pastors do it. It can't be. You are called and equipped and ministered to, and most of you have more training and more scripture in you than any other person around the area, and you have been anointed by God to take that scripture, to take that calling, to take that ministry, and touch somebody's life.
That's right.
Hello?
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's not like God just tells you, get up and go out and do something. God is not in the business of wasting time. When God tells you to go see someone, when God tells you to do something, God has already prepared the way. He's already challenged you. And he's already challenged the person you're going to, and they might not even know you're coming. It wouldn't hurt to give them a little attention and let them know you're coming. But God has prepared their heart. You see, because you are the church, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have been called and commissioned to be the body of Christ. And I don't want fear to keep you from performing the beautiful ministry of touching someone's life that God's called you to. Women, you know what it's like to have a baby. That great joy in the labor room and the delivery room. But when that baby is propped on your tummy, he never propped on my tummy, you know the joy, right? 20 years later or 15 years later, you might not have the same joy. But you know the joy. That's that same joy that comes when you bring someone into the body of Christ. It's excitement. Listen, it's not something you're forced to do. It's not something you even have to do. It's something I want to do. It's something that is within my DNA that says, I am great when someone's accepting Christ. I believe I go through a withdrawal when I haven't led anybody to Christ for a while. Ask Kirk. Around here, when I get grouchy, Kirk says, go find a sinner. So I go between Browns Valley and Wheaton. No. But it's serious. There's something here that God has placed when every single believer to touch someone's life. To lay hands on the sick and see him healed. To bring out the fact that God is ministering through you. That's why Sunday mornings, when God gives you something, don't take it home with you. Share it with somebody. You're sitting out there. God may give you a word that somebody's been waiting for, a touch of the Holy Spirit that someone's been waiting for. You know, I've missed it. I've told you I missed it. I told you about the lady in Rapid City when I was preaching at Dove Christian Center. And she came up and she said she wanted to have a baby. And so I said, I believe you are going to have a baby within a year. I blew it. She didn't have a baby. But because she believed the word, which I had missed, she went to a doctor to find out why she didn't have a baby. And she found out she had a tumor. And by going to the doctor and finding the tumor, they took the tumor out and she's still doing great. I blew it. But God still came through and used that to do something else. Not perfect. Got to realize God's dealing with us humans. Are you human? But yet God has given us the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit wants to minister through us. And he claims us for the child of God. He anoints us as a child of God. He identifies with us. And we go touch people's lives. You see, there's one thing happening that's totally different than what it was when I was growing up. And that is the people that need Christ don't often come to church anymore. And when they come, we're all just like eagles. We just swoop on them. Get them to the altar. You meet more people who need Christ in one day than walks into most churches in 10 years. And as we said last week, some of the churches have become seeker-friendly where they don't hear anything about the Holy Spirit. God is challenging us. But before he challenges us, he wants us to know something. He wants us to understand who Christ is in us and who we are in him. This is not a time not to know your identity. Hello. Amen? It's not a time to be hesitant about who Christ is in you and who you are in Him. Can I show you a couple scriptures? Turn with me back to 1 Peter where we were last week. First Peter chapter 2. Verse number 5 and verse number 9. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. How many believe that? How many say, I believe that? I'll take that. You are a child of God. You have a heavenly Father. And if you want to put it in this perspective, you have a brother named Jesus Christ. You believe that? Can we live with that?
Yes.
And besides that, you have a Holy Spirit living within you. So Peter goes on in the revelation of seeing this, and I'm not sure that all these writers totally understood what they were writing, but they knew the Holy Spirit had prompted them to write it. And he says, you are a chosen generation. Many are called, but few are chosen. You've been chosen. And I'm not talking that you've been chosen at the elimination of somebody else. Because you've accepted Christ, you responded to the Holy Spirit, God has chosen you. Can you say that? I am chosen by God?
I'm chosen by God.
Boy, that's weak.
I'm chosen by God.
Can't hear you.
I'm chosen.
That means you've been chosen, accepted, commissioned, ordained. Okay. You're a holy nation. Oh, that's Israel. No. That's you. You are a holy nation. The same benefits that God wanted to bless Israel with have been given to us through faith as Abraham had. You ever read that in Galatians? All the giftings, all the blessings, all the things that God wanted to do for that little nation of Israel and still wants to do and will do eventually for Israel has been given to us. He is not a Jew who's won outwardly. He is a Jew that has circumcised of the heart, not of the flesh in Romans 2. Can you take hold of that? Am I over your head?
No.
Is it time for coffee? I want you to get a hold of this today and you don't go out and sing, I'm only nothing, I'm only human. You're superhuman.
Amen.
Because God dwells within you. We don't understand that. We just walk out of here and we hang our heads and, oh, just another service and Pastor had too much pizza. Come on. We make a great life a terrible life sometimes. God is giving us everything. God has blessed us with everything. Read Ephesians, read Colossians, read Philippians. And then we walk around like, I wish God would do something for me. You know what I wish? Oh, I love you folks sometimes. I wish we'd accept what God wants to do. I wish we'd just come to a place of saying, I don't care what the past was. I don't care what I used to think. I don't care what I know. I don't care what I don't know. I'm taking you at your word, God. I'm accepting the fullness of the Spirit of God. I'm walking in that authority. I'm going to have my mind transformed. I'm going to have my life changed. I am a child of God.
Amen.
Woo. holy nation. His own special people. Wow. Are you special?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I'm too humble to be special. Come on. You're special. Did you ever work for somebody that didn't like you? What are you laughing about? She likes you. Every once in a while. Does she love me? Yeah. Does she like me? No. Own special people. Wow. That means God has put a tag on you called special. Think of it. With all our idiosyncrasies, and that's too big a word for me to define, but with all those things we think and all those things we do and all those things coming at us, God says, you're special. Now, how long does it take you to talk yourself out of being special? Well, he had a bad day. Kirk told us he doesn't have bad days. He don't know what he's talking about. God don't know what he's talking about? God knows everything about you and what you're going to do, and he still says you're special. Now, can I say I'm special? Boy, if I can take hold of this morning, it'll change my life. It'll change my life. And why did he do that? That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Every one of us was once in darkness. You ready for the next one? Jesus called you the light of the world. What happens when these lights who are once off are turned on? Where does the darkness go? It's gone. It's gone. Zach, go turn the lights off. Over by. Watch this now. I just wanted to wake him up. Dark. Turn back on, bud. Do you ever have that illustrated before in such a marvelous way? Isn't that profound? Why did I do that? Because when you walk into a dark area as the light of the world called by Jesus, the place lights up.
That's right.
It's light. That's why Jesus said people like the darkness because their deeds are evil. When the light comes in, everything's visible. You do that. When you walk into a building, the atmosphere changes. When you walk into somewhere where sin has abounded, the atmosphere changes because you carry an atmosphere of God, of the Holy Spirit in you. And when you go somewhere, things change.
Yes.
And we have to expect that. The gossip is over. The sinning is over. The swearing is over. things change and hope comes in. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
He didn't stop there. Read Matthew 5. He says, you're the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Flavor and preserves. Do you ever stop and think that believers are the preserver of this world through the Holy Spirit? Through Jesus Christ? Things are falling apart. Things are decaying. Things are rotting. You come on the scene. You are the salt. You are the one through Christ who's going to change it. So don't say, poor me. Don't come to a place of denying who you are in Christ. Don't come to a place of saying, I'm hopeless, I'm worthless, I have nothing to offer. You have everything to offer that God does. Are we ready for this? Are you ready for this? Sometimes we have such a poor self-image of ourselves. We're living back. We're living down. We're living discouraged. We're living depressed. We're living, I can't. And God never gave you any of that stuff. The promises of God are maybe, huh?
Oh, yes and amen.
Are you there?
Yes.
The promises of God are yea and amen to those who believe. God has given me his faith in you. Not all the time. Most of the time. Joking. You missed that. All the time. God has faith in you. God has designed your life with not one mention of failure. Not one mention of you can't do it. Not one mention that you're going to get depressed and quit. No. He has faith in you. No matter what has happened, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what's going on, he has faith in you. Now he wants to give you his faith that you have it in you. Hello. But you say, but what about this and what about that? Have you confessed it? It's gone. God has no record. God says, what are you bringing up that for? I don't even know about it. You're a new creature. Don't let the past stop you from receiving what God has for you in the now and the future. Don't let it dictate your future. Get over it. It doesn't matter. I close with this. Try getting up in the morning and just saying, God, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want to lead me? What do you want me to say? And just spend the day expecting God to just open a door. Just expect God to open a door. And he will. He will do it. We have been so blessed. So touched, so anointed. And the only one that can stop that is you. Look to God and say, God, here I am. What are we doing today? Amen?
Amen.
Can you believe that can be you? It's powerful, friends. You are the house of God. It's not this building. You are the house of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the one anointed by God. Our job is to minister with you, but to equip you to do the work of God. And that's beautiful. Because God puts faith and trust in each of us. But don't say you've blown it. It's okay. Don't say you missed it. It's okay. I could write a book how many times I miss God. But it's a new day. Young people, what an opportunity to you to be used by the Holy Spirit. I was talking with Tricia the other day. I want to see our kids laying hands on people and healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons. Your children, we want them anointed by God beyond what we have, because they have a ministry that's being set up for them by the Holy Spirit that's going to carry them into some ages that we don't even want to talk about. And they need the Holy Spirit, but they need the Holy Spirit training their lives at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and turn them loose. I love it. Don't curse the time you live right now. This is a time God has called you to. This is a time God has ordained you for. And you're going to have a part in setting this whole nation on fire for Jesus Christ. You believe it?
Yes.
Can we accept it?
Yes.
Stand with me, will you? Father, my prayer for this group of people is that your hands upon them in a major, major, major way. That Holy Spirit, you'll show them signs and wonders, and they'll step into signs and wonders, and they'll be known for signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit. That as they walk, people will come to them saying, "You're different. We need what you have. We want what you have." And Father, in Jesus' name, just anoint them now. And Father, I bless you in Jesus' name.